Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two.
Gilmore on a big step.
Oh,
brother. Lead Toledo, Ernest. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello, and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast at HarvardProxism.com. I am Jason Mann, and joining me today for the first time, he is an editor at The Hive and a writer for Harvard Paroxysm, Derek James. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, welcome. I'm happy to be here.
And we are going to go through the top 50 case for Grant Hill. He is 79th in win shares, 151st in win shares per 48, 69th in box score plus minus, 44th in value over place and player. He was one time on the All-NBA first team, four times on the second team. He has one top 10 finish in win shares per 48, four top 10 finishes in value over place and player. He was ranked 98th in the top 500 players by Slam Magazine. Was a crazy athletic and skilled guard and was one of six players in NBA history to average 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists per game during his first six seasons. The other five to do it were LeBron, Jordan, Bird, Jerry West, and Oscar Robertson. So that is pretty good company to keep. Of course, unfortunately, he developed injuries through the midpoint of what should have been his prime, was able to kind of come back later and have a pretty good career in his late 30s. However, it makes his case for the top 50 complicated. So, Derek, what do you think? What do you think about Grant Hill's top 50 case?
I think there's definitely a case for it, for sure. Well, obviously, I guess that's why I'm here, but... I think the part that you look at with his career and why you might keep him out of that is, like you said, he did lose a part of his prime. I mean, from 27 to, 32, that's 5 years of his career where, he struggled with injuries and trying to get his ankles right. But before that, I mean, he was an absolute monster. He already ran through the numbers and achievements. But the things that he was doing, I think one player that I always kind of thought of him, as a modern day comparison, I wrote this a few years ago, was that he was kind of LeBron light, the kind of LeBron 1.0, maybe it's a better way to put it. I mean, he was, he was averaging near 10 rebounds a game early in his career. He was a 20 point guy averaging roughly 7 assists, early on in Detroit. And I think the next wing that we saw do that at such a high level was LeBron. And I think also, too, the way that he recovered through that and was able to piece together a nice role career. But, I mean, he wasn't just a role guy, where you might stick him in the back of the rotation. I mean, he was definitely a guy that you would value having on the court because he was still an effective and efficient player even, into the later stages of his career.
Yeah, he played a long time in Phoenix. I kind of forgotten he played, five full seasons there. One was the lockout year, but I mean, he was healthy for, the majority of that time. I mean, he was really a, important role player on, in the team that made the, Western Conference Finals, came pretty decently close to the finals. I mean, he, that was a, I forgot how long that period was. And he was definitely effective in that role. I mean, yeah, he's just, if you kind of compare him a little bit to somebody like Tracy McGrady, where McGrady has like the middle of his career, he is the peak. The early part were good, but he was, kind of had a lesser role, then suddenly had this great peak, and then injuries got to him, and then, he kind of fell. And then, you have Vince Carter, who had, you know, a really great beginning and then, you know, and then kind of plateaued for a bit and then settled into being a role player. Where with Hill, it's a great first 5-6 years. And then the injuries happen, but then he's able to kind of get that role. So all three, I think, have kind of comparable careers in total, but they all kind of got there in different ways.
They really did, and I think it's funny you were mentioning his health in Phoenix. And looking at that, I actually have his basketball reference up in front of me. I was looking, and in 2009 he played 82 games, 2010 he played 81, and 2011 he played 80 games. So he missed 3 games over the course of 3 years.
Yeah, at 36, 37, and 38. So
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Especially for a guy who had those troubles. Looked like his career might be ending, you know, for a while or on the way out, you know, when he was in Orlando in his early 30s.
I mean those were extremely, extremely serious injuries, obviously, and you know, and caused major issues. Probably, you know, one thing that I thought was interesting was we've talked about Kevin Durant and whether Kevin Durant had enough of his of a career to be sort of included in this list, which made me kind of want to compare the two players. They're not really, you know, I mean, there's some similarities, but they're not really the same type of players. But just for kicks, for the first 6 seasons, per 36 numbers, Durant has 25.8 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1.2 steals, 600 true shooting percentage, 24.5 PER, 0.205 win shares per 48, and 4.4 box score plus minus. Now, Grant Hill, less in scoring, 19.8, more rebounds, 7.2, quite a bit more assists, 5.8, 1.5 steals, 0.54 true shooting percentage, a 22.4 PER, 0.169 win shares per 48, which is a decent bit less than Durant, but he actually is a higher box score plus minus at 5.1. So my point in bringing that up is that I do think Hill falls short of the Durant standard, but if Grant Hill had suddenly just retired, was forced to retire for whatever reason, after 6 seasons, he would have a case, I think, for the top 50 based just on that. I mean, it would definitely be an outside case, but, you know, you would look at that and be like, well, you know, he was really dominant for those 6 seasons. That's, you know, that's a pretty strong case right there.
You know, we remember players and we see the numbers and know that Durant has been one of the best scorers, if not the best scorer over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years already. Basically, since he entered the league, and you were talking about a former MVP here, a guy who made a major impact, a guy who's arguably been the second best player in the game. Now, when Grant Hill was in his, you know, early years, I was, well, in my early years too, I was probably 7 in 1995, but I still remember a lot about Grant Hill and how much of an impact player he was in the league. So I think you can still have a case for that guy. And there is one of the greats. Top 50 is tough because there's just so many great players, but I think you definitely have an argument with Durant, given all the accolades that he's piled up in such a relatively short time.
Yeah, and Grant doesn't have quite the same accolades, but you know he was third for in 97 in voting for MVP. I mean, you know, he was certainly thought of as a premier player. The Pistons didn't have a lot of team success. I mean, they were okay. You know, you kind of brought them back from some dark days, but they were never terrific or anything. He's obviously, you know, he's in the shadow of Jordan for the most of that time, which is understandable. Everybody was, but and you know, speaking of Jordan, I really, looking at the highlights of him just as a young, I mean, I really did feel like the way that he would get to the basket and the way that he would finish at the basket was so Jordan-like. I mean, it was really like watching him a lot. I mean, just crazy athletic, incredibly skilled, just, you know, obviously wasn't as great as Jordan, but, you know, he was a decent, you know, facsimile.
Yeah, he absolutely had all the tools. And, I mean, you look at, you can YouTube early Grant Hill games still and you watch him. And, I mean, there are kids that would probably watch that nowadays and go, wait, that's Grant Hill, who might just remember him from Phoenix or, you know, fading out of his career in L.A. at the end there. But he absolutely had a lot of the tools, especially as a scorer, and you know, being able to get teammates involved as a distributor, and you know, working the glass. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm willing to bet he was one of the best top rebounders on the Pistons for most of his time there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the versatility is so important, you know, and you're talking about like the company that he keeps with, you know, with other guys. He just, you know, he was able to just do so many things. He was just so well-rounded, such a smart player. I mean, you know, was always was in position and was just able to, you know, do incredibly great things. I mean, he really was, you know, just had a broad range. And I think you're right. I do think that ultimately he probably is just going to fall short because, you know, the career totals are good, but they're not, you know, outstanding. You know, he doesn't really necessarily stand out in any one thing just because, you know, he was robbed of a bit of his career, which, you know, you've seen with a guy like Bill Walton, you know, I mean, who did make the original top 50 list, but wouldn't, you know, make our list just because he didn't really have a long enough career, didn't have, you know, that many seasons of impact. And, you know, and for Hill, you know, I think it's worth examining. The examination is good here because I do think, like, it just kind of shows like at what level he really was for, you know, for fans who are younger or don't remember just how great he was. But, yeah, I do think that probably he's just not really going to be able to be, you know, in he's in the conversation, but I don't think he's going to be on the final list. He's probably going to be looking out just because, like, you know, to just, that longevity is, well, he played for a long time, but the production, just isn't quite there.
No, it isn't. I mean, some of that is injury, but then you kind of wonder too, if he was healthy for a lot of that time, what he would have done playing next to McGrady for so long and sharing touches with another, you know, dominant scoring wing in Orlando. I mean, there's really only one ball, so you figure that he would have missed some.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would have played off the ball fine, although he was not a great shooter, so that would have had to, at least not early in his career. So I think that would have had to – I mean, I think they would have worked it out. I mean, I think they just had so much talent, and both guys had so much versatility. I mean, you know, McGrady, you know, was kind of a do-everything kind of player before he sort of merged into a, you know, primarily a scorer. I think he would have been – I think he would have been fine, although, you know, who knows for sure. I mean, I guess they did play together I guess McGrady was gone by the time Hill actually kind of had a full season with the Magic because, yeah, that was Dwight's rookie year, wasn't it, 05?
Yeah, yes. I believe so. Yeah, and so, he missed the 03-04 season entirely and then came back 04-05, was an all-star, played 67 games.
So he played – in three seasons he played like 48 games. So, yeah, I mean, 47 games, I think. And so, yeah, I mean, he would have had the opportunity to play 47 games with McGrady, and who knows if McGrady will play all those games. You know, I mean, we saw very little of what they were able to do. I wonder if there's any video that has any kind of sample of how they would have played together. And I'm sure, you know, obviously Hill was sidelined with all the injury problems. But, yeah, I mean, that's I do feel bad for the Magic for being a franchise that's basically had their heart ripped from them like three times of like these potential like great, possibly long-lasting teams that, you know, don't work out for whatever reason. I'm obviously the Penny Shaq Magic and even, you know, the 2010-2011 Magic with Dwight, before, you know, right when he was demanding the trade. I mean, those were some really good teams. Obviously, they made the finals once in 09 and definitely, you know, could have won a championship and, you know, probably could have kept that together around Dwight as he aged, you know, with, you know, kind of smart management, which they didn't quite have, even though they have said a great coach in Stan Van Gundy. So, but yeah, I, not to depress any Magic fans who are listening, but, you know,
I was going to bring up Duncan reneging and then getting excited about Hill and McGrady.
That's right. I
forgot and then about having Duncan. Grant go down.
Yeah. So, yeah, not so great, but, but alas, yeah. Any other thoughts on Grant Hill or any particular memories that stand out to you?
You know, I think one thing with Grant that we all kind of forget is that he was kind of an icon. I remember him with Penny and the Sprite commercials. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was on TV. He was on Home Improvement, which was a big deal in the 90s.
Sure.
I mean, it's part of the TGIF lineup.
Sure.
But the big draw for me with Grant, and actually part of the reason why I became a Duke basketball fan, I know, was I was a kid, and turns out we both had the same birthday, and I liked basketball, and Grant Hill was really good at basketball. So for whatever reason, I took to Duke there. So I think that's always been kind of a cool thing. Like, oh, Grant Hill's an awesome player. And as a kid, it's kind of cool. Like, oh, we have the same birthday. So, I mean, that's kind of always been it. But aside from that, he was a great player. I mean, even as he forged a career that's better than most guys ever do, even though he had his diminished physical abilities from the injury and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And thanks, everyone, for checking us out and you follow along with our top 50 series, is for continuing it to the end of the off season. We'll should just make it to before the season starts. And we appreciate everyone who's been checking us out and supporting us. You can, of course, find us at harborproxism.com, both Over and Back individually and the entire HP network are available on iTunes. Leaving reviews and ratings, preferably of both, would be totally awesome. Help spread the word about the show and all the great shows on the network. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA, and you can check out our forums at overandbacknba.com, where there's plenty of discussion about basketball history, and we have threads for all of these players, some of which have had some good discussion as well. So encourage anyone who's interested in some conversation to check that out. So until next time, thanks, and we'll be back again soon.